you here today. The message of the cross, reconciliation with God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just heard your word read, and we've prayed that we would be able to read it, mark it, inwardly digest it. In the collect prayer, we've prayed that, Lord, and we ask you would do that now. Give us understanding, the gift of your spirit, that we might know the meaning of your word and this wonderful message of reconciliation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the autumn, we are exploring the message and meaning of the cross. And it's my hope and prayer that as we look at Jesus' death on the cross from different Bible passages and from different angles, these will combine together in your understanding to deepen your awe, wonder, and gratitude for God's work of salvation. And this week, we look at the theme of reconciliation between people and God. Last week, we examined the theme of justification. To summarize very briefly regarding justification, through the death of his son, God justifies sinful people, making them righteous in his sight. Justification is a legal understanding of salvation. That legally, through Jesus' death on the cross, we're acquitted from God's judgment. Therefore, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God doesn't see us as guilty in a legal sense. Reconciliation is a relational perspective on salvation through the cross. It's about the restoration of relationship with God, and these two things go hand in hand: justification and reconciliation. So today our focus is on a return to fellowship with God. It's about peace where there was hostility, about enemies becoming friends, a frown or a scowl changing to a smile of welcome. A shut door is opened, a barrier is removed, an empty room becomes a banquet. This is the kind of imagery we want to have with the theme of reconciliation. So let's explore today's Bible passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do have that open in front of you. It's on page 1161, and there's a Bible under your chair. We also have a talk outline on page 4 of the notice sheet. And in this short Bible passage, the word reconciliation appears 5 times. So that shows us that it is key for us to understand its meaning if we're to understand this bit of the Bible. As you listen, bear in mind that later on we'll be participating in the Holy Communion. And this will be a time to remember and celebrate our reconciliation with God. The Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, is a fellowship meal with God that we're admitted to through being reconciled to him. So what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 teach about reconciliation? And the first point is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Now that is a big statement. It places Jesus Christ at the center of God's big purpose. Reconciling the world to himself. This is not just for God's Old Testament chosen people, the Israelites, who later on in Old Testament history became the Jewish people. It's not just for them, but for the whole world. That's why it's come as far as Fordham here in England. Verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That means that Jesus Christ at the center is something very big and important. Now, we're gathered here in church. There are maybe 50 of us here today. We're on the edge of a small village in Fordham, the small village of Fordham, a small gathering. And this can make us feel that following Christ is a small, marginal activity. But wonderfully, this verse shows us that Christianity is global in scope and significance. Jesus Christ is central to God's purposes for the whole world. Isn't that wonderful to think that this small thing we're doing here is one tiny piece in a global jigsaw? We are right to focus our attention on Jesus because God's aim is to reconcile the world to himself through his Son. And verse 19 continues with an explanation of how God does this. Have a look with me. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Not counting people's sins against them. This explains why reconciliation is necessary. Human sins are the problem. They create a relationship barrier between God and people. Anglican hymn writer Charles Wesley nails it in his famous Christmas carol, Hark the Herald. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas is that he was born to bring reconciliation between God and sinners. Now, if you regularly listen to the news, you'll be confronted on a daily basis with the problems that the UK faces, and that indeed the whole human race faces with some things. Of course, there's COVID-19 and all the knock-on effects of the government seeking to control the spread of the infections, all the displacement of jobs and transport and all these issues. Then there are ecological problems due to the success of the human race and its enormous growth over the last two centuries, from a global population of 1 billion in 1800 to 7.9 billion in the year 2020. There are the problems and fears caused by tensions between different nation states. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 shows us that the big problem from God's point of view, the biggest problem, is alienation between him, himself, and mankind. Verse 19 shows us that this is due to our sinful thoughts and words and actions. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's the thing that changed in the work of the cross. Now, many people today, outside and inside the church, object to sin talk in sermons. They don't like it. And I quite understand why. We don't naturally want to dwell on the negative. Who wants to be reminded of the wrong things they've done? However, the Bible's message of the cross, in the Bible's message of the cross, we find that sin talk is essential because sin is the big problem from God's perspective. Bigger than COVID, bigger than climate change, bigger than tension between nations. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Because in Christ, God no longer counts men's sins against them. This message is at the heart of the meaning of the cross, and therefore it's at the heart of the message of Jesus' church. This is the message that we need to share with the world. It's also at the heart of the special Holy Communion meal, which we will eat shortly. And this is why we have a table here in church, rather than an altar. It's a table for a fellowship meal, remembering the Last Supper Passover meal. And we remember through bread and wine our reconciliation with God as we eat together. So firstly, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Secondly, the result of God's reconciling work is that anyone in Christ becomes a new creation. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Becoming a Christian is about being incorporated into Jesus Christ. And the wonderful news is that those who are in Christ are new creations. What an extraordinary idea. We are made new. And this chimes with Jesus' teaching in John's Gospel, chapter 3, about being born again and born a second time. But I don't know about you, but I feel pretty ordinary. Am I really a new creation? Yes, I believe with confidence that I will be part of God's new creation when Jesus returns to renew the world. But this tells us that people who are reconciled to God are new creations now. The old is gone, the new has come. But most of us feel so ordinary, don't we? I was told last week that I was one of the naughtiest boys on the Christian summer camps that I attended as a teenager. I became a Christian as a teenager, and this statement was a surprise and a shock to me that someone had this opinion of me. Was it really the case? Encouragingly, it is a testimony that something has changed in my life, so that is good news. But when you're living the Christian life, I assume it's the same for the rest of you, but we feel very ordinary, don't we? Surely being a new creation should feel powerful, like Chris Martin looks in the pop video for Coldplay's song, Higher Power. Day glow colors, lightning flashes coming out of his body, running super fast, taking off into space. Well, perhaps that's the sort of new age aspiration of being born again in some kind of spiritual, cosmic way. But God tells us, God's word tells us that when we're in Christ, in the day-to-day life, ordinary life, we are new creations. And that is a wonderful thing to know. It's an encouragement and a privilege. Anyone here today who's in Christ is a new creation. This is the fruit of the reconciliation that Jesus won when he died on the cross. We're new creations because God no longer counts our sins against us. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Thirdly, God reconciles through Christ's physical body. And for this, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. It's here on the screen. You don't need to turn to it in your Bible. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The cross changes our relationship with God from being alienated from him to being reconciled to him. The language here is very striking. Reconciliation isn't about being moved from some kind of vague position where you just don't really know that God that well, perhaps like a sort of distant cousin who you haven't seen much of, and then the relationship gets warmed up. No, it's not like that at all. It's from alienation, being an enemy of God in your mind because of your evil behavior. Very strong language, through to being reconciled. Reconciliation with God is a massive change of status. God, once we're reconciled, sees us as holy, not sinful, without blemish rather than stained, free from accusation instead of worthy of condemnation. And we need to think here of the general population of the UK who think they're fine. That standard position where oh, I know I'm not perfect, but on the whole, I'm a decent person. It's not like that at all. The average state where people feel they're fine is actually alienation and being an enemy of God. The wonderful thing about these verses here in Colossians is that Paul is very specific about the way in which reconciliation takes place. But now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Reconciliation with God was won by the death of Christ's physical body. This expands and magnifies our wonder at the cross. 2,000 years ago, outside Jerusalem, when Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea, God reconciled those who trust in Christ by the execution of his physical body. Just ponder that for a moment. It's a historical event, an act in history. And these words, physical body, mean that we cannot detach reconciliation with God from the historical material death of Christ on the cross. We can't spiritualize it into being only a symbol. We can't say that reconciliation comes through Jesus' life in a general sense. We can't say that his birth was enough to bring reconciliation. Of course, his birth was the beginning of reconciliation, but only because he went on several decades later to die on the cross. The physical death of Jesus is at the core of God's big reconciliation plan. And this is why we can say that there isn't salvation in any other religion. You've got to have Jesus crucified for reconciliation to take place. This is God's master plan. Now, in our generation, the UK isn't interested in the cross in any particular or public way. The cross isn't proclaimed in the media. Myriad subjects are focused on, particularly as the channels of media communication increase. But the cross isn't one of them. By and large, Christianity only hits the headlines when something has gone wrong that brings shame on the church. And for this reason, we must regularly look at God's word in the Bible to get his big news story, his big plan. The public media isn't going to tell it to us. And we can see today in these Bible passages that it is right for the church to have the cross at the center of its self-understanding. And for this reason, I want to commend you for prioritizing being here this morning. Among the many choices available to you, the pressures on the time, here you are to focus on God in worship and to listen to his scriptures. God reconciles through Christ's physical body. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is explaining to the Corinthian church that he is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, this is an important aspect of the passage, but I'm going to leave that for today, and perhaps you might look at that in your growth groups or in your own personal study this coming week. But as we come to finish, I want to look at the end of verse 20 and verse 21. How should we respond to this teaching on the message of the cross? And in verse 20, Paul speaks on Christ's behalf as an ambassador, imploring his readers to be reconciled to God. The goal of God's big plan through Christ is to reconcile people to himself. That is what God wants. It's his desire. Reconciliation, restored relationship. It isn't something that he reluctantly has had to do or holds out to us. No, that's what God wants. And in Jesus' famous story of the prodigal son, we see God longing for sinful people to return to relationship with him. God longs for reconciliation. So I implore you today, be reconciled to God. There's no more important thing that you can do with your life. The death of Jesus on the cross was a one-time, once-for-all, reconciling event. It's finished and completed. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ in that historic event on the cross. But that doesn't mean that the reconciliation is automatic. Reconciliation with God isn't universal for all people. It needs to be received. And in order to be reconciled with God, we need to act. Following on from my sermon last week, we need to humbly come to God in prayer. We need to put our trust and belief in Jesus Christ as the one who reconciles us with God the Father. In verse 21, Paul gives a wonderfully succinct description of Jesus' reconciling work on the cross. And this is a verse that's really worth memorizing. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And there's that word again from last week, righteousness. Let me explain it using that illustration with my hands that I did last week. I want you to imagine that this hand represents Jesus, and this hand represents you and me. Jesus was without sin. He never sinned. He was pure and perfect. But God made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus to be sin on our behalf. When Jesus was on the cross, God made him sin for us. And he did this so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin on the cross, and that makes us righteous before God. The cross was the awesome event through which God made us righteous and thereby enabled reconciliation with him. So be reconciled to God. That's the message for today. There's no more important thing. This can be your reconciliation if you will receive it. Believe and trust in Christ as your reconciler. Well, let me summarize and then we'll pray together. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. God reconciles through Christ's physical body. Therefore, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. And as I pray, I encourage you to echo the prayer in your heart if you would like to. A moment of quiet. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want me to be reconciled to you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to be sin for me. Please forgive me for my sinful thoughts and words and actions. I put my trust in Jesus as my reconciler. I believe in him as my savior from sin. Amen.